circumstances, we are conducting this meeting virtually. Therefore, any sort of comments, whether they be public or on items on the agenda, were asked to be submitted to o'rourke@mbard.org by 5 p.m. on Monday the 18th. Certainly, we'll do our best to accept and reflect comments as they come in, as allowable. This is our best attempt to get through this. So with that, we'll go ahead and start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's see if Director Dillas, if you would like to lead us in the pledge.
Oh, certainly. Wow. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead with the roll call. Anne, whenever you're ready.
I'm ready. Okay. Director Botello? Director Carbone?
Present.
Director Coonerty?
Here.
Director Friend?
Here.
Director Dillas?
Here.
Director Ledesma? Director Lopez? Director Lopez? You're on mute if you're answering. Director McShane?
Here.
Director Parker?
Here.
Director Phillips? Director Spencer? Okay, well.
<Is that close? laughs> Let's see, we might have just Director Phillips there.
Let me count. I think we're still...
Nothing has been selected. Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay. okay, I have to count who's ever actually here. And unfortunately, okay. That puts us under a quorum, I think. So, Director Phillips, we can't hear you if you're talking to us. You're on mute.
I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now let me count. Okay, we have a quorum.
Excellent.
We should count hands.
So at this point in time, it's public comment. So I just would ask Anne if you'd received any public comment or if there's anything that's come in to be reflected or read.
Not for this meeting.
Okay, great. So then we'll go into reports and I'll just start. We had the Budget, Personnel, and Nominating Committee. We looked at the budget and moved approval. Of course, there's another hearing and some more consideration today. We also received reports on our OPED and approved a mid-year budget amendment and adjustment that'll come to the board. And that's about that. Rich, anything you'd like to report from the advisory committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. The advisory committee did not meet this month, but we will be meeting in June.
Okay, great. All right, so at this point in time, any referrals from other board members? Any comments from any board members at this time?
I have one.
Sure, Jack. Yeah.
I just want to tell everybody, as your newest director representing Santa Cruz County Cities, I'm glad to be here and participate in our work to protect our air quality.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thank you. You'll represent us well and from a critical part of the district and as we were saying earlier, it's good to serve with you on another board. So thank you for being here today. Thanks. Excellent. All right. That said, we'll go on to Rich for his report from the Air Pollution Control Officer. Rich?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. We'll start with engineering. We're moving forward to implement the Acela permit database to replace TrackIt, which was the fiasco we had a few years ago. We've completed the blueprinting phase and identifying record types, and we're moving into database configuration and conversion. The California Air Resources Board is continuing to move forward with an emission reporting regulation applicable to most permitted sources. What this means is they're going to require a lot of facilities to submit data to us on emissions, and it's going to be pretty onerous. We've been commenting on that. We'll be providing additional comments this week, but we're telling them to take a more measured approach and not to try to bite too much off in one chew. Our inspectors have been able to conduct remote inspections, working with permit holders, collect data and photographs. And our asbestos team has been able to conduct drive-up inspections to observe abatement or demolition activities from their vehicles. A prominent local activist in the Seaside Marina area has lodged a complaint with the State Department of Health, and that call went through our staff as well. It's ended up with me. And this individual was complaining that asbestos was being emitted over the area of Marina and Seaside with all the demolitions taking place at the former Fort Ord. We were able to demonstrate that that's not the case, that they actually, that's the whole purpose of our asbestos abatement program, is to make sure that these buildings are properly surveyed for asbestos and then properly abated with a approved contractor. And they even have misting devices out there to keep dust down. So it's going pretty well, and they're doing a really good job out in that area. Planning and air monitoring, as you'll hear later, and it's on the consent agenda, we've been working with Monterey Bay Community Power, Central Coast Energy now, I guess, to develop an agreement to provide $1.2 million in funds towards the district's zero emission school bus program. We're already doing this program. It works really well. We've got a database to help us with this. And so they saw a good thing and decided to give us some money. We will get some administration costs for this to implement it as well. And then we're gonna be matching those funds with some of our EB 923 funds. And so, and then also on the infrastructure side. So this is a really good partnership, and we hope to do more of these, especially I would like to see something similar when it comes to the electric vehicle incentive program. But we're happy with this, and we're really pleased we'll be able to get a number of buses throughout our jurisdiction electrified in schools. We have a pretty big waiting list for these school buses, and they all have to have conditions depending on the grant funds on whether or not they have to replace an original bus or not. So we're working to make sure those monies get distributed as fairly as possible throughout the three county jurisdiction. And then on the, speaking of the electric vehicle incentive program, we've tracked with about 332 applications received thus far. We've obligated about $280,000. We have about $120,000 remaining for the next 2 months. So we're going to be going back to the drawing board and redesigning the program, hopefully with Monterey Bay Community Power, to see if we can make sure that we expend all those funds in time. We can still do it with the 2 months remaining, but with the downturn in the economy, that may be wishful thinking at this point. So we'll keep you abreast of what's happening with that program. On Thursday, the district will hold a workshop for installers and retailers participating in this year's wood stove changeout program. Installers will play a central role similar to past year's programs. But new for this year, applications will be received through an online system to improve efficiency. That's part of our database system. And so document management will be enhanced, as well as a reduction in staff time. We've received $175,000 in grants. 160 of that will be available for wood stoves. The balance will go towards administrative costs. And it's less money than we had hoped. But considering that that was obligated prior to COVID-19, we feel fortunate to be receiving any of those funds from cap and trade right now, as those are all going to be probably gobbled up by the state's deficit. We did receive one comment relative to our budget that a resident of Santa Cruz County thought that we should be spending more money on wood stove replacements. But then they also said in their letter that the people that really need to do it aren't the ones that are doing it. So we're grateful for the money we have. And then in early June, Camp Roberts will be conducting their annual prescribed burn of about 9,000 to 10,000 acres of grassland in their artillery range. The stuff catches on fire if they start practicing. So we'll work closely with Camp Roberts and San Luis Obispo Air Pollution Control District to make sure that the smoke management is done well and limit smoke impacts on local communities in Bradley, San Miguel, and Paso Robles. And then, as you probably heard on the news, fire season has officially started. So countdown, hopefully we won't have any wildfires this year. Outreach, we're in the process of making an air quality 101 video for Steinbeck Center's virtual summer camp in June. And Bill Chevalier, our supervisor of monitoring, and Ann O'Rourke were putting in the staff time to make this video, and it's costing the district, aside from the staff time, $0. In addition, we will be publishing our first quarterly newsletter in June, and this will be in electronic format. And then finally, we're titling this Operation Reopen MBARD. We're going through the process of a risk assessment and plan development to allow staff back in the building and the public back in the building. We've tentatively shooting for the first part of June. We've ordered a lot of supplies such as face masks and sanitizers and the like, so we've done some preliminary risk analysis, so we know that we need a certain amount of personal protective equipment as well as signage. That's also another part of it, and training for the employees. And I'm sure that the counties and cities are also contemplating, and they'll be implementing similar plans. And we're trying to steal from the best of them out there, so I'll bring that to you probably next month. And we'll be sharing that with the employees in the union to make sure we have input and buy-in. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rich.
Mr. Chair, before I go too much further, I need to apologize. I didn't see this. We have a hand raised that was raised for public comment from one of the attendees.
Sure. So why don't we go back to public comment, and let's go ahead and take that, and we'll go back to the APCO's report. So,
okay, yeah. I will unmute her. There she is. Okay. All right. She should. Okay, Nora, she'd be able to go ahead and speak now.
Can you hear me? And thank you, Anne.
Yes.
You can hear me because I'm not used to this. I see all the rest of the Hollywood Squares contestants, but I can't see myself, and I'm usually in the center square, so.
Well, thank you for being with us, Nora. You've got 3 minutes, and you're being recorded.
Great, thank you so much. Just so you know, I am on the political committee of the People's Democratic Club in Santa Cruz County. I am on the advisory council of Santa Cruz for Bernie, and I am also an elected member of the Democratic Central Committee in my community as well. So I'm wanting to communicate with you about an item that may be coming before you either today or soon enough regarding Rule 207, which has to do with air quality and wineries. And so I want to first thank the Air Board for its vigilance in keeping our air as clean as it can possibly be. Probably COVID has done more to make that happen than anything else, to be quite honest. But this is not the time for the Air Board to relax any rules having to do with air quality, ground quality, water quality, but particularly in the case of the Air Board, please do not relax the rules. That would set up a terrible kind of dynamic that the people's health is worth less than the growers' profits. So I'm begging you on behalf of everybody that breathes the usually clean air of the Monterey Bay, please maintain Rule 207 as it is now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your public comment, Nora.
Appreciate you letting me in.
Okay, we got it. Thank you. Was there anyone else, Ann, at this time?
I'm looking right now. I do see another hand raised. That's a phone number, 831-400-9933. I will unmute you. You can go ahead and speak now. Please state your name for the record.
Yeah, you have three.
Oh, minutes. Hello. Hi, this is Adam Bolaños-Scow. I am calling today on behalf of Regeneración Pájaro Valley Climate Action, where I serve on the advisory board. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Also wanted to state our support. We sent in a letter with about seven or eight other organizations stating our strong support for upholding Rule 207 as well, and maintaining the existing limits on VOCs in order to protect the public health and our agriculture as well. So I think the letter states the reasons that why we're concerned about that, and we hope that the board will uphold its previous good work around Rule 207. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you for your call in. Anybody else at this time, Ann?
No, that's it.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close public comment. Appreciate that. And we'll go back to the APCO report. And if there's any questions from directors at this time, go ahead and raise your hand if you'd like to offer a comment or any questions for the APCO regarding his report. Okay, good. Rich, great report. Just want to signal support for the newsletter. That'll be really exciting to see that, and a better effort to communicate with, you know, the public out there. And, you know, thank you very much. So we'll go ahead and hit our consent agenda. Are there any members of the board that would like to pull an item from the consent agenda? If so, now would be your time to signal by raising your hand. Okay. I don't see any unless you do, Ann. Any members of the public, and if we have any public comments on any item, Ann, now would be the time. I don't see any. Great. Okay.
Ann, you're muted, and one attendee does have their.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, I was. Kilgrew.
There you go. Okay.
So I will go ahead and unmute him. Okay. You can go.
That's a member of the public, right? So go ahead. JR, was there a member or an item on the consent agenda you would like pulled?
No. Hi, everybody. This is JR Kilgrew from Monterey Bay Community Power. Just wanted to provide a quick public comment in support of the MOU and agreement to help support school bus electrification. So it's just another wonderful opportunity for these two agencies to collaborate on electrifying the Central Coast or the region, and also cleaning up air quality. So just a wanted a nod and support this MOU.
Great. Thank you for being with us today, and we'll definitely note that. So is there a member of the board that would move the consent agenda?
Carbone will move.
Lopez second.
Phillips second.
Okay, I had Carbone on the move and Lopez on the second. Ann, will you go ahead and read the roll?
Yes. Okay. When I call your name, please. Wait, let me get to the top. Hold on. Okay. Mary, Director Carbone.
Yes.
Director Coonerty.
Yes.
Director Fran.
Aye.
Director Dillis.
Yes.
Director Lopez?
Yes.
Director McShane?
Yes.
Director Parker?
Aye.
Director Phillips? Okay. Director Ledesma?
Aye.
Okay. It carries.
Okay, great. So we'll move on to our regular agenda. And our first item there is to hold a public hearing on our proposed 2021 budget and provide direction. This is not an action item, but I know we do have a presentation. So Rich, do you want to start it off and then turn it over to Rosa or as appropriate? So Rich?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This presentation will, and we'll load it up, we'll track closely with the staff report, but you'll have it in a PowerPoint presentation. So can you load that in?
Takes a moment, I'm doing it.
Okay, sorry.
Hold on, let me start the show.
And while we're getting underway, I just want to thank Rosa for all of her work on this budget. She inherited a lot of spreadsheets from Joyce, and it's been quite an undertaking and quite daunting to get all this information together. The spreadsheets are three-dimensional and pretty crazy, but she's doing an admirable job keeping it together, and it's only going to get better in the future as well. Is that, are we done?
You see it?
Okay, yep, okay. So first slide then, budget goals. Next slide. Or can I do that?
No, I have to do it.
Is that taking time?
I've got it up. Is it not showing?
The next slide.
Yeah, budget goals.
It hasn't changed your mind.
Well, I don't know. Let me go previous here. Oh, hang on. Let me start it over again. On my machine, it's showing it.
Okay, that's the title page.
Right. Okay.
So next page.
Okay. I don't know. Well,
so, Anne, try not starting the slideshow. Just, I think if you just exit the slideshow and
yeah,
take
I'll just
slide,
do that. We'll just
yeah,
look
we
at
can
the,
see
we'll
it.
Just
we'll just have
outline.
A board.
Perfect. That's fine.
Okay, there you go. Excellent. Sorry about that. So this budget is founded on these principles and goals to continue the district's mission of assuring healthful air quality and environment in the Tri-County area, improving our levels of service and providing education to the public and regulated community, and reducing and controlling the district's costs. Now this next slide, this is actually a very good portrait to paint. This shows basically our revenue history since 1999, 2000 year through present. And what you'll see is a number of peaks and valleys. First of all, you can see our high water mark was somewhere back into the 2009 area. And then we had the economic downturn. In addition, in 2011, you can see that one huge dip. That was one of our major sources in CMEX in Davenport and Santa Cruz that actually closed up its shop and moved to Victorville. And that represented about a $900,000 decrease in revenue to the district. Additionally, if you look in the 14-15 timeframe, we saw another dip, and that was due to Dynegy. We changed their fee structures, and they went from paying about $1.5 million to less than a million, and now they're in around a $500,000 bracket. So the other take-home message, too, is this is just a best guess of what our revenues will be. Our revenues actually, as you know, are determined by not only our fees, but by the number of sources that come here for permits. So we're anticipating that we may not get as many sources coming in as we did last year. That's probably a good bet. Although we were looking at applications received these past couple of months, and they're on par with what we saw last year. So we're still waiting to see how that shakes out, but we try to use our crystal ball. So we're conservatively estimating that we'll see a downturn in revenues. Next slide. So this is also an interesting portrait. And primarily you'll see, this is our Department of Motor Vehicle fees that we receive. This was established back in 1990 under AB 2766. And then you see that sharp increase in the 2005 timeframe. And basically that was an additional $2 through AB 923, and that came out of the tire fund in California. So that boosted the revenues from DMV to about $6 per vehicle, essentially. And so we saw an upward tick there. The rest of the graph shows that as we see more car registrations coming online, we'll see more revenue. The dip that we're showing for this next year is we're expecting that, number one, the state may try to grab back some of those monies to plug holes in the state budget gaps. And then they also, we don't anticipate that we'll see an increase in vehicle registration since the economy is in such hardship right now. So people may forego registering their vehicles. So we've made the best guess there with our crystal ball. And so we feel that's fairly conservative at this time. Should be recognized too that we compete with California Highway Patrol for some of those funds from the Department of Motor Vehicles, and they typically are very successful at getting priority treatment from the state. Next slide. So this is our org chart. Nothing has really changed from the previous year. I would just say that there's a couple asterisks next to a engineering two position and inspector one. Those are positions are currently vacant due to attrition, and we have put in effect a hiring freeze. So we are not proposing to fill those vacancies this year in this budget. Next slide, please. So this is a budget in brief, and sort of gives you a snapshot of what we're talking about in total. We'll see a budget of about $2.21 million. Our major source revenues continue to decline. And I should just also at this time say that one of our major resources is the power plant. We anticipate that they may be shutting doors in the near future, which is important that we have the resources to cover our expenditures in case they do. So we are planning for that eventuality in the next year to 5 years. No increase in permit fees due to COVID-19 pandemic. No increase in the city and county per capita fees. That's currently at 47 cents. I think the budget in brief shows you in the documents that it's 43 cents. That's just a typo, we'll update that. The total FTEs remain the same. However, we have two unfilled positions due to the hiring freeze I discussed earlier. So fixed asset purchases, we were gonna purchase a number of vehicles next year as well as repair our roof. Among other things, we've decided not to do those expenditures, but we will continue with $86,800 towards our database and document management systems that are currently underway. This has been a long time in the making, and we need to push through to get a reliable and an efficient system up and running. Also, you'll see that we have new sources of revenue for grant programs for electric buses, thanks to Monterey Bay Community Power. It's about $1.2 million. The major grant programs will continue. That's the AB 2766, 923, Carl Moyer, wood stove changeouts, the Community Air Protection Program, and the funding to assist agricultural operations for emission reductions. I sort of messed up that acronym. I can never remember it, but that's to give you a gist. Next page. So this is the pie chart showing where our revenue comes from. Starting with the DMVs in the upper right quadrant, that's about almost $4 million. And that's where our AB 26 and 923 come in. Permit fees, that's $2.7 million in the purple. State grants, we get about $3 million there. Special fees, this is our Title V and asbestos fees, 4%. Other revenues, that's typically where we see penalties and fines and some of our air monitoring contracts and cost recovery for excess emissions. Federal grants makes up about $323,000. We have the offsite mitigation and Monterey Bay Community Power funds, and that's about $1.3 million or 10%. 3% comes from the cities and counties in our per capita assessment. And then we put that interest income, it's at 2% of the pie. We've downgraded our percentage that we anticipate we'll be receiving as a result of the status of the economy. We also receive $179,000 under the CARB subvention program that helps us implement the Clean Air Act. And that rounds out the revenue. Next page, we'll look at our expenditures. And so the predominant portion of the pie is dedicated $12 million in grant payments. Salary and benefits is next. We have the electric vehicle infrastructure and professional service, and that's payroll fees for our auditor, our computer consultant, actuarial reports, and Acela is all in there. We also have some rural development as well. The fixed assets I discussed earlier, office building expenses, those are things like utilities, rent, maintenance. We have increased our maintenance. In absence of replacing the roof, we anticipate we'll have more repairs that are needed to the roof to keep us, keep the water out. $400,000 carved off for the electric vehicle incentive program. And we have other admin expenses that includes insurance, travel training, district boards, our clean air fund, and some sponsorships. And other includes OPEB contributions and some clean air projects. So that rounds out that pie chart. And on to the next slide. And this is our operating budget. So this does not include the grant programs. And so in this program of that $21.1 million, 6.1 is in the operating portion. $231,000 decrease in our permit and Title V revenues. So those are permit fees charged to the sources. We are gonna see some additional state revenues in oil and gas emission inventory work, as well as the Community Air Protection Program grant. Salaries and benefits decrease of about $220K from the fiscal 1920 year budget. Projecting an operating surplus of $152,000, yet our stationary source program is still in a deficit. And then as I mentioned earlier, we received a comment about our Woodstell program. Somebody would like to see more money spent in that. Next slide, please. This is our stationary source program. And so what this is this as the program where we take our fees for the air pollution sources, and that's distributed between permitting and enforcement in our engineering program, and also some indirect costs. The take-home message here is that we cannot make a profit and we can't have a positive balance. So we always try to be very conservative, and we shoot for about an 80 to 90% cost recovery. This year, we're gonna be looking at about a 76% cost recovery. Now those monies are not made up. I think there's about 100,000 from the general fund, but those monies are made up from other grant programs that are don't have specific strings tied to them. For instance, we get from the EPA about $300,000 to implement clean air programs, and that goes into this budgeting as well. So we make up the difference from a number of our grant programs. But if we were to increase fees, which is not something that we want to do, but when we do it, we try to close the gap on our cost recovery, which frees up additional funds for the agency to do more. So next. So this is our grant program page. So about $15 million, which goes towards those programs. And these are our major grant programs. AB 2766, we've got $4.6 million. And some of these are not for the current year. We've got past years that we have to pay for projects that are already underway. And then we have other projects that we'll probably fund in the future that are not able to be captured in this annual budget. Same goes for 923, $2.17 million for our EV infrastructure project. Carl Moyer program, this is for ag and marine vessel engines. Offsite mitigation grant, this is from the county, the East Garrison development specifically. So that has been used to pay for ag pumps going to electric from diesel, and also for improving school buses going to cleaner vehicles there as well. And as I mentioned several times before, we have the new grant, if approved this cycle, this today, of $1.2 million for electric buses. The $160,000 of the $175,000 from the state for the wood stove changeouts, and the Community Air Protection Program grant of $1.6 million, and then an additional $556,000 from the Agricultural Emission Reduction Program. And then finally, we're going to be putting $100,000 into our future retiree health benefits and OPEB trust. That's with PARS. We also this year opened up with a $500,000 deposit, a PARS account for our retirement. And what's not reflected in this is any contribution next year in this budget to that trust account. We're still working with our actuarial to determine what the amount should be, and we'll be meeting also with our fund advisors to determine that and bring those recommendations to the board for consideration. The next page, please. So this shows a pie chart of our general fund balance. So what you're seeing is that essentially we're going to be bringing in $5 million. We're going to be spending $5.13 million, and we will be taking our final reserve down. We think that this is all very conservative. And one thing that's not reflected in all of our budgets is we do not budget. I think we put in $150,000 or so for anticipated fines and penalties. In the past years, we do really well. We've been probably averaging closer to $1 million in some of those assessments and awards. We don't see any big cases on the horizon this year. In addition, the ability for people to pay fines and penalties in this very difficult economic environment may lend us to be more forgiving in the future based on ability to pay and that sort of thing. So it's probably good that we don't increase that, but that just goes in and adds on to our general fund balance eventually. And then finally, our last page is just sort of a recap of where we've been in the budget review process. And we had a Zoom workshop on April 7th. We did not have any attendees or comments. We had an initial review by the Budget and Personnel Committee on April 15th. First hearing, which is today, on the draft budget. And then next month, we will be having our second hearing as prescribed and outlined in state law for budget adoption. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions or refer you to Rosa, who can help as well.
Great. Thank you, Rich. So we'll go back to looks like we have Jack has raised his hand. So why don't we start there? Jack?
Okay, yeah, I just have a few questions, and bear with me because I'm new here, but I know a lot about budgets. First, I'm wondering if leaving the fees flat and not increasing the fees, if that will put pressure on us in the future. Well, are we potentially setting up something where we have to increase our fees quite a bit in the future that would cause some issues with the public? I recognize the need to where we are economically, and we need to treat our community well in terms of not shocking them with fees now. But might this set up a situation in the future where we have to raise our fees considerably, and would that cause us an issue? That's my first question.
That's a really good question. The answer really quickly is yes. I mean, the simple answer is that, for instance, we may lose a huge revenue source at the power plant, and they're paying based on emissions primarily and not really on workload. And they've been covering the cost of some of the smaller sources. We have, over the past few years, though, been adjusting our fees to have the smaller sources bear more of the burden. So I think with the budget balance that we have, the fund reserves, that we will have navigation room for 1 to 2 years at least to spread the costs out if we need to do a measured fee increase or a significant fee increase. So I think we do have some room there, and that's not put in a specific plan, but we do have reserves for economic uncertainty, and then we have unreserved funds available as well.
So we might be able to smooth the way in the future, I guess, is what you're saying.
That's the plan, and that's why we've been spending down our reserve over the past 10 years since I've been here. I think we had initially like a $9 million or $10 million reserve. But as we spend it down, we still do make more money, unanticipated revenue in the form of fines and penalties. So it's somewhat balanced out, but our balance has shrunk over the past 10 years.
Okay. And my second question, there's a couple $1 million in there for electric vehicle stations in all three counties. And I'm just wondering, is that to the point where we know the locations yet? Where that money, where those stations will be placed?
We know some of the locations right now. Typically, what we like to do is have shovel-ready projects. So priority goes to those that don't strand our resources. So for instance, if somebody says, I've got all the approvals necessary to put in an electric vehicle infrastructure or charging station, then they will get first priority for funding. So we have a list of locations, and we also have a plan that we've developed to allocate these resources out among the various three counties and cities within our jurisdiction.
Okay, great, I'm glad this is in here. My next question is about cap and trade revenues. When the state has them, does any of that money flow our way for environmental purposes?
Yes, very good question. The Community Air Protection Program is something that the environmentalists wanted the state to address environmental justice areas throughout the state. So they set up their own program at the state, and they're also dispersing about $300 million among the air districts. The large air districts receive the lion's share of those funds, and that comes from cap and trade. There's discussion right now, and the current budget shows a significant reduction in that grant for community air protection. And some of the air districts have actually hired staff. We haven't done that. We've only received about $1.6 million in this program thus far, but we anticipate that it will go away. So we haven't staffed up. We've been using it for developing database and reporting work and that sort of thing. So at least we're not overextended on that. But we anticipate that cap and trade is, I think water quality gets a lot of cap and trade money in the state. So there's a very fierce debate right now at the legislature on where those monies are going to go. Okay. So we anticipate they will be decreasing. We also, the wood stove monies are also coming out of cap and trade. Last year we got about $500,000. This year, $175,000. And they neglected to put that in the budget going forward, even before COVID. So it is a priority of the state. They just haven't stepped up to fund it.
Okay, so there is cap and trade money in the budget. I'm just not seeing those words. It's being called by a bill name or something like that. Some other name.
That's the convention, air qualities. We always refer to bills.
Okay. And then my last question, just anything worth noting in the cost of benefits? I know you noted in the staff report that there's an increase, I think 5% of salary for CalPERS, but anything else of note, like in health or anything that would impact the budget?
Not at this time. We anticipate that costs are only going to go up in some of those programs. So we have anticipated that as much as possible in the budget. And we're in negotiations with our union right now about them, who's going to take on any additional costs for healthcare, for instance. So without getting into the negotiation strategy and so forth, we are setting limits on how much the district's liability will be towards those.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Director Dills. We'll go on to Director Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a couple little questions. Thank you for the clarification about the 43 cents or the 47 on the per capita charge. I was wondering about that. Does the population number get updated each year?
Yes, okay. And I believe that, Rosa, you can step in. I believe that we saw a reduction. And that comes from the Department of Finance, the State Department of Finance. That's where we get the latest data.
Oh,
right. So I did download the new report. It came out on May 1st, and it doesn't show in the budget, but it's about a 2,500 population decrease that came out. So that's between all three counties.
Interesting. Thank you. And then. Then my other question is about the OPEB. Am I actually seeing it in two places, the non-operating and the admin budget? I thought I saw $100,000 in both places, and I was just wondering about that.
Well, without looking toward, we'll make sure that's reflected only one time, but we're only planning on taking it out for the $100,000. We will be pulling out some additional funds for the PARS retirement pension trust account as well. So maybe we put that in there, but we can look to make sure. We're just proposing $100,000.
Okay, yeah, and I think you said the PARS was $500,000, right?
We did that this year. So that was the board approved that this year. So what we do is we set up the initial deposit, and then we have ongoing recommended typically by our actuarial or what we can afford. We would make those contributions on an annual basis going forward.
Right. Right. I'm used to seeing it. It's just, I thought I saw it in two different places. And so was it.
We'll take a look for that.
More this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions at this time from directors? I don't see any. We'll go out to the public. And anything that you've received via email as a comment, or anyone that is in attendance that's flagged an interest?
I don't see any hands raised from the attendees at this time.
I don't either. Okay. All right. Well, this is a consideration item at this time. There will be another public hearing, and we'll be back next month to approve the following year's budget. So we'll move on to regular agenda item 15, and that is a public hearing to consider adoption of resolution approving proposed revisions to our district rules. And there's a few there. I'll look to you, Rich, unless you just want Amy to go ahead and start with her presentation.
Yeah, I'll hand off the baton to Amy. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. This is a tandem presentation, so we can't really do anything with our fees, and everything is done by rule. So in order to change our fees, even though we're not proposing an increase, we're doing some cleanup, and Amy is going to walk you through the changes that we're proposing for our fee rule.
Good afternoon. So I'm going to attempt to share my presentation here. So hopefully everybody can everyone see it?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Great. So thank you so much. As Rich mentioned, we are just proposing some cleanup to our fee rules this year. So there's four rules that we're going to do a little cleanup in. That's rule 300, 301, 306, and 310. And I wanted to let you know, when we originally put together our fee rule revisions, we were looking at a fee increase. And the first notice that we sent out to all of our permit holders did include that, because we prepared everything before the impacts of COVID were upon us. And so the presentation today, we've backed off on all of those fee increases. And so there are no fee increases reflected in our fee rule changes today. So the main reason why we wanted to continue with some of our fee rule changes were because we're going into a new database and we're trying to combine things and make things more simplified so that we can allow for people to apply for permit applications online. And so one of those categories is gas stations had a different set of permit application fees that are much more complicated than all of our other sources that would apply for permits. So we are wanting to change that so that gas stations pay the same set of application fees as all of our other permit applicants. Another thing that we're noticing is that we get sometimes complex permit applications, and so those take a lot more of our staff time, and we'd like to have a way to recover some of our costs for those more complex permit applications. And so we did add a provision where we could charge our hourly staff rate for some of those more complex permit applications. And then we have our ag engine registration fees, and that's another example of where we're trying to simplify. So the current rule has a different set of fees for an in-use engine versus a new engine, and we're going to eliminate that and just have one registration fee that would cover both in-use or new. And then both in-use or new would have the same. Each time you register a new engine, there's an additional fee. So it would be the same for in-use and new. And so we're hoping that these changes will allow us to more smoothly have people apply for applications and ag engine registrations through our online permit system. So this is an example of the language that we're proposing to add to Rule 301. For those types of more complex permit applications. And these are for processes or equipment that are larger and more complex than, let's say, someone that applies for a boiler. It's pretty clear what regulations those apply and what emission limits need to be met. But sometimes we'll get a permit for something that's unique, a gasification system. There's maybe only one other of that kind of source in the air district. So it takes our staff a little bit more time to review those types of applications. So we'd like the ability to assess some additional costs for those kind of applications. Next, in our asbestos rule, we just had some minor clarification language that we are proposing to add into that fee rule. And then Rule 310 is the ag engine registration fee rule. And as I mentioned, we're just trying to combine fees right now that are two sets of fees into one so that those applications can more smoothly come in through our online application system once we get that up and running later this year. So with that, I'll take any questions or comments.
Okay, we're looking for Q&A and any, we're looking for anybody raising their hands. I don't see any yet. Ann, do you see anything? Okay.
If I may.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
If I may anticipate a question, that the fees most likely for the gasoline dispensing facilities will maybe drop a little bit as a result of our streamlining and simplifying the process. We think that's probably okay, considering that it's not that much money. The efficiencies gained by it will more than outweigh any minor costs associated with that. So if you were thinking that we were somehow changing and going to benefit for somehow an increase in fees, that's probably not going to happen.
That's great, Rich. Thank you for that clarification. And Amy, thank you for your work. We'll take it to the public at this point in time. Is there any member of the public? Anne, do you see anybody there?
No, I don't.
Yeah, me neither. So this is not an action item at this point. This was our public hearing on the matter, and we'll see it again next meeting. So with that, that concludes the end of our public portion of the meeting. And we do have closed session, which we'll go ahead and turn that over to Les. Any announcements, or I don't know at this point if there's any public comment on items scheduled for closed session, now would be the time. I don't see anything. I don't think we've received anything. So I'm assuming we'll go to a breakout room, Les. Is that
No, Chair. I've set a separate invitation. So if everybody would sign out and then sign in to the invitation that I sent separately, that would be great. And for the record, I do not anticipate there to be any reportable action. So, Anne, you could note that in the minutes unless I let you know otherwise. So, please sign out of this one and sign out into the invitation I sent.
And if anybody has problems, email Anne or Les.
Well, email me. Anne won't have the invite. There is a password to get into the closed session room.
All right. Thank you, Les. This will conclude our meeting for the Monterey Bay Air Resources District. Thank you very much.